Today on Real Radio.
And they get so upset calling upon their gods that they start cutting themselves, thinking that maybe he wants blood or their gods want blood. Maybe that will invoke their god to perform. And Elijah just says, okay, now shut up and sit down.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series called Church Growth 101, and we've seen so far how the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God works in the life of the believer. Now, this passage in 1 Samuel gives us one of the earlier insights into this work. In fact, Pastor Jack's been exploring a bunch of passages throughout Scripture that really talk about the Lord's work in the life of the believer. So let's continue now, as pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continues in his mini-series called Church Growth 101.
We want to ask the question tonight, what is the gift of special faith? What is this gift of faith that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 12:9? We'll understand this in our question, what is the gift of special faith? The gift of special faith is a divine ability that promotes the believer to take unnatural action that would otherwise would not be taken. It is a supernatural push of the Holy Spirit of God that causes a Christian to act upon something in a miraculous way. That is a wonderful quote from Donald G. Donald G., if you ever find any book by Donald G., buy it. He's hard to find. He's, in my opinion, the only really decent theologian that the Pentecostal movement has ever created. He's a very, very wonderful man, balanced and a godly man. Great, great quote. What is the gift of special faith? Special faith manifests in special boldness. That's the first face of special faith. It will act, it will move, it will respond in an unnatural way to a situation. More on that in a moment. Jot this verse down. We have a great example in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Special faith in action. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for money. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And that is by money or an apple or an orange, something to appease his poverty. Then Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." How in the world could Peter have done that? Did Peter always walk around like that? The answer is no, he did not. How is it that he did it here? How is it that the book of Acts shows us these incredible scenes over and over again? You should always remember that the book of Acts, and I don't care what your Bible says by the way of introduction, that's not Bible. God didn't write the title that's above verse 1. Because, you know, verse 1 usually says the book of Acts. Some of your Bibles say the Acts of the Apostles. That's getting closer. But the book of Acts should really be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I've seen one Bible entitled The Acts of the Holy Spirit Through the Lives of the Apostles. That's a good title, isn't it? That's a good one. We just call it the book of Acts. Why do we call it the book of Acts? Because it is the book recording Acts. And interestingly enough, for every chapter of the book of Acts, there's one recorded miracle per chapter in the book. We think the apostles just walked around doing miracles every half an hour. Well, the book of Acts covers a time span of nearly 30 years. Keep that in mind. Of course, there were more miracles done than that. But it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And here Peter is experiencing this gift of faith. He boldly pronounces, how did he know that God was going to raise this crippled man up? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been somewhere in the market, maybe at the mall or at the beach or whatever, and you see someone who's lame or injured or handicapped? Have you ever had this where you've seen people handicapped before or hurting, but this particular person, you're moved with compassion. Do you know what I'm saying? Your heart is grieved with their state. Somebody nod their head. Just lie to me, will you? Have you ever had that? It's just like, oh. And you'd almost give your leg for their leg to have them better. It's not normal. Here's the deal. The next time you sense that supernatural push in that area, try stepping out and walking up to that person and saying, excuse me, do you mind if I pray for you? Just try it, see what happens. So, Jack, what are you saying? Try it and see what happens. Move based upon the nudge of the Holy Spirit. What if the guy's not healed? I've done this, and sometimes people are not healed. But you know what? I've learned something. Do it. It's much easier to sleep that night if you do it. Because if you don't do it, you're going to wonder for the rest of your life, should I have? I wonder what would happen. I wonder if. Try it. Say, Jack, are you kidding? I'm not kidding. Peter, now granted, Peter had seen a lot of things going on in his life concerning the Lord. He had been primed to act in faith, special faith. He felt the push. You don't see him balking. You don't see him say, well, gosh, I don't know, John, do you think God's in this? It was a supernatural affair. He was moved by the Holy Spirit. Christian, I want to suggest to you that God wants us to begin to discern and to understand and to sense what it's like to be moved or compelled by the Holy Spirit. I think if we begin to nurture our walk with Him, we may very well find out. You may very well find out that in that moment, God will bestow upon you this special faith. It's a very amazing gift. Example, I have the gift of teaching. That gift can be employed constantly, 24/7, at the drop of a hat. It is one of the verbal gifts that God gives that's always on. Are you with me? It's always on. It's a switch that's on. The gift of special faith is not like that. You just don't walk around glowing with this special faith and you kind of, you know, it's not that way. It doesn't happen like that. It is an amazing manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and it will, or the Spirit, it being the gift, the Spirit of God will bestow or manifest that gift in your life for the crisis or the ministry opportunity that is present. He will not give you the gift of faith for what's going to happen next week. It's amazing. If you study the gift of faith through Scripture and study Pentecostal theology, when I say Pentecostal, the study of the gifts of the Spirit and the life of the believer, I'm not talking about the Pentecostal denomination. I'm talking about the Pentecost experience of the believer in the book of Acts. When you study what has been the manifestation of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer in this book or in this gift of faith, special faith, you will see that they often were timid people. They were people that were not naturally, one that you would say, well, boy, he's got faith like a mountain, that guy, send him. No, it wasn't like that. The Spirit of God manifested the faith for the moment or for the crisis that the ministry opportunity might bring honor and glory to God. And listen, when that situation passes, that gift does not leave you per se, that gift then recedes. You don't walk around like that. It's not like one of the other gifts, as I said, like the gift of teaching that's always on. A person who has the gift of tongues, they don't walk around town, you know, spouting off. They don't do that. The Spirit of God won't do that. But there's a time and there's a place. There's a situation. There's a moment. Interestingly enough, in the wisdom of God, the verbal gifts that lead someone either to salvation via evangelism, preaching, or teaching, which builds somebody up, those gifts are always on. Why? Because there's always a need for somebody to get saved, and there's always a need for someone to be instructed. You understand? It's very, very, Well, it's very wise of God to have done it that way. The Old Testament example, by the way, of the Spirit of the Lord bringing this special faith, you can study later, and it's a blast. Oh, read it to your kids. They love this story at night. It's 1 Kings 18. I mean, our kids love this stuff. 1 Kings 18, you've got 450 prophets of Baal. You've got 400 prophets of Asherah. There's a lot of false prophets there. Then you've got the Lone Ranger, Elijah. He's all by himself. And they're making fun and they're goofing off. And Elijah says, all right, that's it. And he is given special faith. He says, hey, let's build an altar. Let's see which God rules. Now, that's bold. In fact, you know that this is not him because the next chapter over, he's hiding in the cave, scared to death of a woman. Did you know that? In fact, he says, God, kill me. What is my life? Slay me. He was suicidal. Elijah was suicidal. God, kill me. I don't want to live. This woman's just shredding me. Well, the chapter before, he's got all of these false prophets in front of him. And he says, all right, let's build an altar. Let's put a sacrifice up there. In fact, and he's got this special faith, boldness. He says, you know, let's dig a moat around it. Come on, dig a moat. So they dig a moat. And he says, fill it up with water. In fact, put the sacrifice up there. Pour water over everything. All right, now let's see whose God rules. You talk to your God or gods, and if he responds, have him light the sacrifice and burn up the whole thing. So they start, you know, calling out to Baal and Astaroth and all these pagan gods, and they're, hey, come on, gods, do your thing. And nothing happens all day long. And you could just see Elijah. There's an actual, when he has the moat dug and the water poured over, there's a taunting that Elijah does. And yet it's of God. And where did this man get this faith? It's not like him. Special faith. And this situation's going on, and he's getting sick of it by now. The sun's starting to go down all day long. In fact, the people that are so, these false prophets are so upset with their gods that aren't listening. Elijah says, hey, why don't you cry out louder? And they start jumping up and down, and they start yelling. And he says, why don't you yell louder? Maybe your God is busy. And then he says, maybe your God's on an errand. Maybe your God's, you know, out in the universe going to the bathroom somewhere. And he makes fun of them. And they get so upset calling upon their gods that they start cutting themselves thinking that maybe he wants blood or their gods want blood. Maybe that will invoke their God to perform. And Elijah just says, okay, now shut up and sit down. And he says, God, who is God? Lord, are you God? If Baal's God, then let's worship Baal. But if the Lord Yahweh's God, let's worship him. And fire comes down out of heaven. And the Bible says that it not only consumes the sacrifice that's soaking wet, but the flames lick up the water that's in the moat around the sacrifice. And then whoosh, goes back up into heaven. And Elijah says, all right, that's it. You guys are false prophets. I'm going to kill every one of you right now. One guy and 850 people, and he kills them all because they're false prophets. If you know anything about false prophets, they have to be killed in the Old Testament time. In the New Testament, God's going to deal with them later. Read the fine print. It's not a good story. You don't want to be a false prophet. Special boldness. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. Special boldness to trust God for impossible things. Acts 21, 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come down to us, he took Paul's belt, this is the Apostle Paul, and bound himself in his hands and his feet and said, thus saith the Lord, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when we had heard this, this is Luke writing, Luke's the author of the book of Acts. Now when we had heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered. Now this is special faith. What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but to also die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when we had not been able to persuade We ceased from saying, the will of the Lord be done. So we packed up and went to Jerusalem, Luke says. Paul, they're crying, oh, don't go, Agabus, he's a prophet of God. You're going to get bound up and beat up, Paul, don't go. And Paul says, what's all this crying? Who cares? I'm ready to die for God. Come on, let's go. And Luke says, well, we couldn't persuade him, so we're not going to talk about it anymore. Let's go. It's, after all, the prophecy's about him, not us. Let's go. Special faith to walk into a lion's den. Special faith, not normal. Amazing. Number two, we want to ask this. Why is there a special gift of faith? Why? The special gift of faith given by the Holy Spirit, and allow me to put it this way. It's the way my mind thinks, but I think it's accurate. Special faith is the delivery system for the gifts, often of miracles and healings. The special faith is what puts you out there, and God will often couple. You'll often see special faith working with miracles such as healings and other things. That's exactly what we saw with Peter and John going to the temple. The special faith got Peter over to the lame man, but what happened? There was a special, again, by the special faith, there was the manifestation of what? Healing. Very important. Those of you who have the gift of healing, you probably have, and you probably have experienced the manifestation of this special faith. It's what gets you almost from where you're normally at. It's the delivery system. It's the little tram, so to speak, that gets you to the issue. The special faith takes you to the need at hand or to the crisis. Now, when I meditate on that, I begin to realize, wait a minute, God, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll just do it again when we get there, is, Lord, what if I have this gift? You'll never know if you have that gift unless you step out, and that's the part that requires faith, any kind of faith. It starts with our common faith, and we tonight will say, Lord, maybe you've given me that gift. How are you going to know? You've got to step out. And you say, Jack, I don't like that part about the gifts. I don't want to step out and make a big boo-boo. You know what? I don't know what else to tell you. It's the way that it is. Because it has to be by faith. Do you understand? It's got to be. Everything we have has got instructions labeled on it. It's got, you know, from the microwave oven to whatever. It's everything's right there. And God will not do that.
Well, it says in 3 minutes it's going to be all done.
God's not like that. God will say, look, I'm not going to tell you if you have the gift or not. You have to find this part out. And this is the part we don't like. It's the part that he demands. Because whatsoever is not of faith, it doesn't please God. So this is a beautiful thing that brings all of us to the same starting point. Every one of us. Well, God, how do I know? You know, I think I might want to be a pastor, and we'll talk about this in a few weeks. I want to be a pastor teacher. How do I know if I have that? Oh, there's a way to know. But you still must step out, or whatever that gift might be. Why is there a special gift of faith? Again, Donald G. says this, and I quote, "This gift of special faith apparently comes to a believer who is in a situation or crisis, or an unusual ministry opportunity that is set before him. Those in their missionary call, for example, often experiences this gift of special faith as well as Christians." Listen to what he says. Who are urgent about advancing the kingdom of God. I love that because God's not going to send you out into the battlefield without any ammo. A divine certainty comes upon them. It is put within their souls to believe that triumph and victory is impending. Close quote. I love that. Why would God answer your simple request, God, give me all the gifts. Just give them to me. I'll take them all. He's not going to do that unless you're willing to say the prayer and then get up and see if he's going to give them. He doesn't load you up with them and said, okay, now go. He knows what those gifts are for your life and for my life. But he demands you, like Moses, to put your foot in the Red Sea first. Then it opens up. Remember when Joshua, this is the way God works, when Joshua and the children were crossing the Jordan, remember, they all waited. They pulled up with the ark, and they're sitting there, and the river's flowing big time, and they're all waiting. And God tells Joshua, tell them, get in the water. And the priest started to go into the raging Jordan River at flood season, and then it parted. It's the way it is as a Christian. You must step. I tell you, you have no idea how much you're prayed for. I pray probably this prayer for this church more than any other prayer, and it's this. God, don't let any of us at Calvary Chapel be armchair Christians. Spectator, I call them. Remember when we were a Costa Mesa home Bible study, we would always pray, Lord, keep this from being a spectator fellowship. Where people just come and, what's going on? What's happening? No. We want people to come and get pulled into what God's doing. And your life will change that way. Special faith not only accomplishes the task, it serves as an undeniable source of encouragement and in itself promotes faith in others who are standing nearby, Donald G. says. Don't you love that? I'm going to say that again. Special faith not only accomplishes the task, it serves as an undeniable source of encouragement and itself promotes faith in others that are standing nearby. Did you see what happened Wednesday night? God healed someone. And your faith goes, right? I got a note from somebody today, little tiny note, sentence in the note. It was very cute. It says, Pastor Jack, since I've been attending your church, it's not my church. Whoever you are that wrote the note, it's not my church. I didn't die for this. He died for it. Since I started attending the church, his church, the Lord has confirmed to me by these Wednesday nights regarding the gifts that this is my home church now. Well, that's interesting. How did that happen? I can only assume, as Donald G. mentions, that when you see God moving, your faith is increased. It's a wonderful thing. Get involved in ministry. Go on a one-day mission trip to Mexico. Watch what happens. So are you kidding? Mexico? Yeah, Mexico's the country just south of us here. Here, San Diego, Mexico. It's really there. And, you know, I got to tell you, I was born and raised in San Diego, and I would not go to Mexico because I just thought it was insane. My concept of Mexico was Tijuana. And that's tragic.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Church Growth 101. Church Growth 101 is actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel and a few other biblical passages that take a look at the only true way to extend and grow the kingdom of God, and that is through the Holy Spirit. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember now that this broadcast outreach is really just the tip of the iceberg. You can hear, watch, and read messages by Pastor Jack. We've also got television programs we think you're going to like, topical studies, commentaries, devotionals, podcasts. The list goes on. And you can have it all right there at your fingertips with your smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. All you have to do is go to your app store and download it for free. This one-stop shop features Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get via email. Our Wednesday night study, which airs on hischannel.com, live on your smartphone. Our Real Radio podcasts. Topical lessons from Scripture, verse-by-verse studies. And, of course, our Monday night TV program with the same name as the app itself, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. I have it on my smartphone. Do you? Sure makes things easy. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your tablet or smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.